today as we come to the table.
Guys, listen, whatever this creature is, you couldn't do that with. I don't care. There's not a creature on the earth that describes this. He's saying, look, you can't go and fill his skin with harpoons. You can't hit his head with fishing spears. And if you fight him, you will never do it again. Whatever this creature is, all it takes is one confrontation. I'm done. All right? Let's go on. Indeed, any hope of overcoming him is vain. Shall one not be overwhelmed at the sight of him? He says, just seeing this thing would so put fear in you and overwhelm you that you couldn't even battle it. No one is so fierce that he would dare stir him up.
We've all heard and seen what a dinosaur used to look like, whether in movies or books. But have you ever considered that a creature even larger than the dinosaur once roamed this world? You might imagine a T-Rex to be a furious creature. But the creature described in the Bible was a furious giant creature that no one could stand against. Pastor Mark tells you about this massive creature known as Leviathan in today's message. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary, Knoxville. You may believe that the Leviathan was a dinosaur, but the Bible tells you that the Leviathan was a different creature. Let's take a look at the process of creation and know more about the Leviathan. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Genesis chapter 1 with today's edition of Come to the Table.
And the article goes on, it says, this remarkable discovery by evolutionist Dr. Mary Schweitzer offers immensely powerful support to the idea that dinosaur fossils are indeed not millions of years old, but were mostly fossilized under some catastrophic condition. I would say Genesis 6 and 7, a great flood, because we know now scientifically that if everything was covered quickly by water, it would have been preserved all the way around the earth. Again, lines up perfectly with what we know and call science. And again, science, as I've said before, slowly catching up with the Bible. And again, here, this is just more evidence of it. It says the discovery was apparently made when researchers were forced to break open the leg bone of the T-Rex fossil to lift it in a helicopter. Dr. Schweitzer has been cited as saying that inside the bone, the blood vessels were still flexible, and that in some instances, you could actually squeeze out their contents. Now, it doesn't take a scientist to tell you that a dinosaur bone could have no flexible material after even thousands of years. So what is amazing to me is that, and guys, listen, when you begin to see your shows come out on this, it's fairly new. I don't know. I doubt it'll be on the news and on the papers. There's not going to be much said about it that way. They keep these things pretty quiet. There'll probably be some documentary, again, on some channel, whether it's History Channel or whatever the case might be, Discovery Channel. But here's what I found. Every time God puts the evidence right in the face of an archaeologist, it's almost like the one I was reading yesterday who said, if I didn't know better, you would think this just happened instantaneously. And he puts the evidence right in their face. Instead of that, they look through the lens of what they make themselves believe, and they change all the facts around it to say, you know what, here, it fits our story. Watch what's going to happen. Although it is known in science that no red blood vessels or any of these things could survive more than thousands of years at the most, I guarantee you what's going to happen. You watch the headlines. If you see the documentary, no profit, but I'm going to tell you what it's going to say, because I've seen these guys over the years. Amazing new discovery. What? We now know that red blood vessels and fibrous tissue and red blood cells can survive millions of years. An amazing thing. Be ready for it, because that's the only thing they can say. Because if they don't say that, they're going to have to say, maybe we're wrong. Maybe there's some other explanation. Guys, we have the explanation lined up for us in the scriptures. Genesis tells us where the dinosaurs came from and when the dinosaurs were created and the fact that man walked with them. Now, I wish I had the article, and I can't say this is fact, so don't leave her saying, Mark, this is fact. Mark said it was fact. I didn't. But there are reports now out of Turkmenistan that they have now found fossilized dinosaur and human footprints together. I still wait to verify that. Even if they don't, doesn't affect me any. I know they were. But you can imagine if that hits the papers, what that's going to be like. We'll wait and see. Stay tuned for further info. But I want to finish today because, again, I didn't want to go right on into looking at the creation of man. I thought this is too fun because it brings up another question, and that is this. All right, Marco, wait a minute now. If God did create the dinosaurs, I mean, these are big things. You can't just kind of, it's not like, you know, I mean, God probably said something somewhere else in the Bible about them. So where in the Bible do we see man living on the earth at the same time dinosaurs did? I believe we have that very clearly for us in Job chapter 40, and I want you to turn there now to your right. Job chapter 40. And it's right before the Psalms. If you don't find it, it's right before the Psalms. But Job chapter 40, we're going to start in verse 15, and we're going to finish the last part of Job, and then we're going to go right into chapter 41 of Job as well, because we're going to look at this whole thing in context. Remember the situation. God is now chastising and correcting Job because Job has been saying all these false things about God. And remember, we looked at one of them a couple of weeks ago where God said, Job, who do you think you are? You're telling me about me. Were you there when I created? And we talked about what a rebuke that is even to the modern day science, the things they don't know. How can they postulate? How can they just say they think it happened that way? They can't. And now we see God going on and talking to Job here in chapter 40. And he talks about, first of all, in this chapter, some huge, immense land creature. And then we're going to see when we get into chapter 41, he talks about some huge, immense sea creature and or creatures. And so let's start with the land creatures. Notice this. He says, verse 15, God speaking, look now at the behemoth, which I have made along with you. Notice he says, I created it when I created you. Now that's key as we work through this and see what the definition of this behemoth was, because again, your Bible, if it has some footnote, probably says some unknown, you know, large creature or some unknown large animal or something like that, because again, they don't know. We don't know. Behemoth doesn't tell us specifically what it is, other than we know from the definition here in Job chapter 40 that it was a huge, huge creature. Now, again, the challenge is, as we read through this, I want you to challenge yourself. Is there any animal on the planet today that fits this description that was on the planet with Job in his day? And by the way, Job, as we believe, is one of the oldest books in Scripture. And so, again, this would have been a long time ago, obviously. So, but notice what he says. He eats grass like an ox. See now, his strength is in his hips, and his power is in his stomach muscles. He moves his tail like a cedar. Now, I've read some commentaries that say, well, it's talking about an elephant. You ever seen an elephant's tail? Like a cedar? I mean, it's more like a little twig that kind of, you know, I mean, they're, oh, look at that thing, it's cute. I mean, you can play with it, you know, oh, hey. No, this creature has a tail like a cedar. Now, guys, picture a cedar in your mind. I had someone come up afterwards and say, well, I still believe this is probably an alligator. Guys, I know there are alligators that get up to 20 feet long. Crocodiles, these huge things. You've seen, you know, the crocodile hunter, right? And he just wrestles these big alligators, you know, go get me a bite, your head right off. You know, and they do, you know, and it's like, you know, right? But the bottom line is, guys, listen, the entire size of these giant crocodiles we have today, what he's saying here, that's just the tail of this thing. That's just the tail. Okay, that's just like, you know, wagging. What's wagging on the other end of that cedar? Whoa! You get an idea now what's going on. Let's go on and look what this behemoth is like. The sinews of his thighs are tightly knit. His bones are like beams of bronze. His ribs like bars of iron. Doesn't describe any elephant or crocodile. I don't know. Granted, they're bigger than we are. But give me a break. Beams of bronze? Bars of iron? He is the first of the ways of God. Only he who made him can bring near his sword. Surely the mountains yield food for him, and all the beasts of the field play there. Notice this. He lies under the lotus trees and in a covert of reeds and marsh. We're designed to say the dinosaurs hung out in the marshlands. That's where they find many of the fossils today, in the marshlands, in riverbeds, and things like that. Why? They were huge. They would have needed to cool down. They would have stayed in the shade and all this stuff, the transfer of heat and all. It's exactly what God says. They're under the lotus trees. They're in the coverts of the reeds and the marsh. The lotus trees cover him with their shade. The willows by the brook surround him. Indeed, the river may rage. Again, we see them in the river. Yet he's not disturbed. He's confident. Though the Jordan gushes into his mouth, though he takes it into his eyes, or one pierces his nose with a snare. In other words, to him, it's no big deal. It doesn't bother him at all. Now, again, he goes from this land creature, this behemoth, now he moves into this huge sea creature and or creatures that God here calls Leviathan. And notice here in chapter 41, he moves right on. Now, talking land and sea, He says, can you draw out Leviathan with a hook? Again, if you've got a footnote in your Bible, it may say something like a large creature, identity unknown. That's what it says in mine. But let's look at the definition of this thing. Or can you snare his tongue with the line that you lower? In other words, you're going to catch him with a, you know, a hook and a bob? Can you put a reed through his nose or pierce his jaw with a hook? Will he make many supplications to you? Will he speak softly to you? Or will he make a covenant with you? Or will you take him as a servant forever? In other words, can you make him your servant? Will you play with him as with a bird? Or will you leash him for your maidens? Will your companions make a banquet for him? Will they apportion him among the merchants? Can you fill his skin with harpoons or his head with fishing spears? In other words, no, you can't. Lay your hand on him. Remember the battle. Never do it again. I mean, whatever this is not a giant alligator. We could take spears and go to a giant alligator, and we could pierce it and kill it. I mean, even the crocodile, I was watching this thing, talking about him again, you know, and watching him do these huge, big things, and a bunch of guys have ropes in all directions, and he's like a crazy man on its head going, you know, watch out, bite your head right off. You know, put down these things. He's doing this whole thing. Guys, listen, whatever this creature is, you couldn't do that with. I don't care. There's not a creature on the earth that describes this. He's saying, look, you can't go and fill his skin with harpoons. You can't hit his head with fishing spears. And if you fight him, you will never do it again. Whatever this creature is, all it takes is one confrontation. I'm done. All right? Let's go on. Indeed, any hope of overcoming him is vain. Shall one not be overwhelmed at the sight of him? He says, just seeing this thing would so put fear in you and overwhelm you that you couldn't even battle it. No one is so fierce that he would dare stir him up. Who then is able to stand against me? And again, he's using the explanation of saying, you know, if I've created this great Leviathan, these great sea creatures, I believe dinosaurs here, Job, how are you gonna mess with me? You can't mess with me. And again, Job would have known this. He says, who has preceded me that I should pay him? Everything under heaven is mine. Now he goes on talking about this Leviathan. He says, I will not conceal his limbs, his mighty power, or his graceful proportions. Who can remove his outer coat? Or who can approach him with a double bridle? You know, like you would a horse, you're going to tame him and ride the thing. Who can open the doors of his face with his terrible teeth all around? You can't even get near his face. He's got these terrible teeth. And if you've seen the teeth of a dinosaur, you know they're very intimidating. Notice he goes on and says, his rows of scales are his pride, shut up tightly as with a seal. And the word scales here really literally is the word shields. It speaks of this creature that has these scales on him that are just like shields. And they're tightly bound next to each other. One is so near another that no air can come between them. They are joined one to another. They stick together and cannot be parted. Now this is amazing. Watch this part. His sneezings flash forth light, and his eyes are like the eyelids of the morning. Out of his mouth go burning lights. Sparks of fire shoot out. Smoke goes out of his nostrils as from a boiling pot and burning rushes. His breath kindles coals and a flame goes out of his mouth. Strength dwells in his neck and sorrow dances before him. In other words, he destroys what's before him and brings sorrow. But note this, whatever this creature is, he says this thing breathes out fire. Now, remember I said back in Genesis, it says these great sea creatures, another translation of that word is dragon? I personally believe that what we call myths of these creatures that used to exist called dragons, I believe indeed they did. I believe it was simply a form of dinosaur that had the ability to breathe fire and to create and kindle fire in that way. And so people saw that. It was passed down orally by tradition. As they died out, people, oh, that's not true. And it became what we call myth today. But when you look in the light of Scripture and the wording God uses in Genesis, then you look here in Job and you see the wording of God saying this thing breathes out fire. Guys, you have to begin to wonder. Now you're saying, but wait a minute, Mark, come on. An animal that breathes fire, little knights and fighting them and all this, come on. Listen, I'm not saying they were, you know, around when knights were there and they're fighting and all that. Here's what I'm saying. Did you know that we have a creature that exists today that bursts out fire in defense? See, a lot of people don't know this. We still have today in existence what we call the bombardier beetle. I've seen these little guys on film. They're quite amazing. And what they do is they, when the prey comes up behind them, and in this film, and we actually have that in some of our films here in Creation and Evolution there in our library, but as the frog comes up behind the bombardier beetle, and the poor frog, they set him up. I mean, here's this frog, mind his own business. They put the bombardier beetle in there. They probably starved him a few days, get him hungry, right? So he starts walking over to the bombardier beetle, and that he gets right up to that beetle, and kaboom, this flame shoots out the back of the beetle, and just fire and flame, and then the beetle goes, and there's this poor black-faced frog just kind of, I'm thinking, wow, here is a creature that God created that can actually shoot fire out of its body. Now, it's interesting, when you dissect them, which they did for us in the film there, there's these tubes that come and run up to the back of the beetle, and they're just like conduit. And they carry this gas that it produces in its body, comes up to the end of this tube, it shoots out the gas when a predator comes and ignites it in some form and fashion and bursts into flame and shoots this flame into the predator's face. Now, guys, if a beetle could do that, if God, we know, have evidence he created a beetle, why couldn't have God created a creature that could do that as well? Why would it be so hard to believe that God created something that had the tubing here, that it released the fire and could actually release bursts of fire? Again, quite amazing when you look in the light of tradition passed down and some of the stories that are passed down, and then in light of Scripture, what it says, and then even modern science today, it's quite amazing. But let me say this. Hey, no matter the case, tell me what animal this is on the planet today. Is there some fearsome animal in the ocean that, you know, you're fishing, like, hey, they got a bite. Ah! You know, that thing shot fire at me. You know, think you're crazy. But it was in existence. God is here talking about it. He says, the strength dwells in his neck and sorrow dances before him. The folds of his flesh are joined together and they are firm on him and cannot be moved. His heart is as hard as stone, even as hard as the lower millstone. When he raises himself up, the mighty are afraid. Because of his crashings, they are beside themselves. Though the sword reaches him, it cannot avail, nor does spear, dart, or javelin. By the way, they hunt whales today. Do spears, dart, and javelin prevail? Yes. Whatever this was, it didn't. It didn't. And you say, well, we have new methods now. We shoot these big, you know. Right. What about the Eskimos who still hunt whale just with spears and harpoons in the Arctic? You know, and in these places, they still do it today. Whatever this was, you couldn't do that. You wouldn't be able to. Notice he goes on, and this it gets even more here in detail. He says, he regards iron as straw and bronze as rotten wood. What creature do you know, you throw an iron spear at it, goes, ha! Piece of straw, you know, bronze, yeah, rotten wood. This was a massive creature with great power. The arrow cannot make him flee. Sling stones become like stubble to him. Darts are regarded as straw. He laughs at the threat of javelins. His undersides are like sharp potsherds. Now, by the way, that pretty much does away with anything else we know of. I don't know of any creature's undersides are like dark or like sharp potsherds. That is pieces of pottery. That's what a potsherd is. He spreads pointed marks in the mire, and as he moves through the mud, he makes these, you know, marks in the mud. Now, this is amazing. Notice this, how big this creature is. He makes the deep boil like a pot. He makes the sea like a pot of ointment. He leaves a shining wake behind him. One would think the deep had white hair. You ever been flying out of an airport where the ships are down there on the water? And you look down and you see the wake they're making? Maybe you've been up on a hill and not even been in an airplane, but you've seen the wake that something makes, and there's this white kind of, wow, it's in the ocean or whatever. We expect that from ships and all that kind of stuff. He's saying that whatever this was, when it swam on the surface of the water, it did that. Guys, there is not a creature alive today that swims on top of the water that does that. You get the largest whale and have them swim on top of the water. From a plane, you wouldn't even see them. They don't make a wake. They go up and they come back down. They go up. This thing apparently went up and just plowed his way through the water. An amazing creature here, whatever this thing was. And on the earth, there is nothing like him. Notice he was currently on the earth in Job's day. One would think the deep had white hair. Again, I'm sorry, on the earth there was nothing like him. Verse 33, which is made without fear. He beholds every high thing. He is the king over all the children of pride. In other words, if you think you're bad, deal with him, and you're going to learn real quick you're not. Now, guys, this is fun, and this is amazing as we look at Scripture, okay? When we look at what the Word of God says, and then we see again what science says, and even tradition that's passed down from things that we think maybe were just myth, we begin to realize, you know what? Maybe there's more to the story here than we've realized. And we begin to piece the pieces together, and that's a lot of fun, and I think that's a neat thing to do. And again, it's interesting that there's only one thing that scientists say when you look at the catastrophe, when you look at all the fossils around the earth and all the dinosaurs, there's only one scientist say it either happened millions of years or there was some worldwide catastrophic event. Those are your two options. I submit to you Genesis chapter 6 and Genesis chapter 7, where the Bible says that God sent a great flood on the earth. And what you would expect with a great flood is billions of dead things buried under large layers of rock and dirt all over the earth, because that's what a water flood would do. Guess what we find when we dig down and section the earth? Billions of dead things buried under rock layers and dirt all over the earth. It seems to me, guys, that it's pretty clear what has happened here. A catastrophic flood of Noah is what brought about the fossil record that we have today, and is why everything preserves so well as far as these bones not decaying and all that took place. But, you know, let me say this. Let me end today by saying that none of this is hard to believe if you believe the Bible. But it's as important of an issue as it is to see what the Scripture says on these things. Let me say this today to end. It's not nearly as important that you believe that dinosaurs walked with man on the earth thousands of years ago as it is that you believe that God walked with man on the earth thousands of years ago. And you know, there are people that can't believe either. But my appeal to you today, if you're here today and you don't know the Lord, the Bible says that God came down to the earth in the form of a man. And we know that man is Jesus the Christ. And the Bible says that he died on the cross for your sins, that he was in the grave for 3 days and three nights, and then resurrected from the grave. And we as believers know that. We've come to know him. But listen, if you've been challenged, you know, it'd be amazing that a message on, you know, creation and dinosaurs could challenge you in the Lord. But God's Holy Spirit's working. Maybe it's exactly what you needed to hear. God wants you to know, you know what? He came to this earth, this amazing earth that he created, so he could take you with him back to heaven. And all you have to do is put your faith in him and believe that he died for you. And if you believe that, and that he rose from the dead, you can be a part of the kingdom as well. You know, it's interesting. There's really only one archaeological find that will affect us eternally. And that is the fact that when they came to the tomb, they found it empty. There was not a body. There were no bones. There were no fossils. Because he resurrected the third day. And if you put your faith in him today, you will resurrect with him eternally in the kingdom. And I believe that's the Holy Spirit's appeal to you. Let's pray. Lord, how we thank you for your word and how exciting your word is, God. When we look at just your creation and your power and just how amazing you are, Lord. Lord, we're just overwhelmed with your greatness and your glory. And Lord, although we stand in wonder and awe at your creation, Lord, there's still something that is much greater than that. And that is you coming to the earth as a man and dying on a cross that you created, Lord. The very wood that you were hung on, you formed and fashioned. And you gave your body and your blood for us. As believers, we say thank you, Lord. We love you. And we ask you would fill us fresh with your Spirit, that we might be thankful all day, Lord, and continually each day being thankful and giving you praise and glory. But Lord, for those in here today that are unbelievers, Lord, they have trouble believing, Lord, different things that the Bible says. But above all, they've had trouble believing that you yourself came to die for their sins. I pray that you would now open up their eyes spiritually, Lord, to see that you have died for them and that you paid personally for their sin and that you love them. And Lord, if they simply ask forgiveness and ask you into their heart, they can know you today and be your child forever. And Lord, there is no greater wonder. The greatest thing beyond, Lord, your creation is one that is recreated or born again in you. And we ask you to do that. How we love you, Lord, and we bless you and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's always a blessing to have you come to the table of God's Word with us each and every day. Pastor Mark's been going through the book of Genesis, and there's much to learn and appreciate from this first book of the Bible. Sometimes to fully grasp something later on, you need to understand where things began. From verse 1, God made it clear that he was there all along, and he set things in motion exactly as he instructed. Isn't it neat to see that all of creation is under God's authority? That includes you. This could seem a bit intimidating, but it's actually God's way of looking out for your best interests. Once you look at it that way, you start to realize that everything in all of creation is something that God initiated with intention, and that includes you. What a great thing to come to today. If you missed any part of this message or would like to hear this one again, you can always go back and find it at thewaymedia.net. Just click on the Come to the Table tab. Another way to access these messages is by downloading the Way Media app from the Apple App Store or Google Play Store. By doing this, you'll be able to take these teachings with you wherever you go. Would you like to get in touch with us? Our number is 865-609-1385. Once more, that's 865 609-1385. Feel free to call us with questions or to even ask for prayer. Please come back for another edition where Pastor Mark will continue his teaching through the book of Genesis the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.